Hi, everyone. Thanks for listening today. This is Kevin Campbell from DTA Associates. I'm the CEO and a founding partner. DTA Associates is a healthcare consulting company. We focus exclusively in the healthcare industry. We're based in Minneapolis, and we focus in the areas of healthcare, data analytics, data warehousing, data governance, implementation, things along those lines. One of our services is a managed services for analytics that we provide to smaller healthcare organizations, rural health systems. And that's the topic of our discussion today. So I've got Mike Benda and Amy Minham on the call from Mille Lacs Health System in Onamia, Minnesota. And they're going to talk with us a little bit today about some of the challenges that they face and also talk about how DTA has come alongside to partner with them with their analytics and reporting and data integration. So Mike and Amy, welcome. Thanks for being here. If you could just real quick give me an understanding of what your roles are, what you do at Mille Lacs Health System, that would be great. Amy, do you want to go first?
Sure, I'll start. So my name is Amy Minham, and I've been with Mille Lacs Health System for a little over 7 years now. Up until about 3 months ago, I was a clinical analyst under the IT department, and most recently in July, accepted the health information manager role. We did a little bit of shifting there, and so now the clinical analysts, the applications analysts, are now part of the health information department. So we work closely with Mike and his team, especially when it comes to data and reporting. Mike?
Mike Benda, and I'm the IT manager, and I've been here for 8 years. And like Amy said, she was part of her and the clinical analysts were part of the IT team, and done a really great job. And so her move over to the health information area was a really great boom for us. And with her work with the clinical analysts and the reporting, I think we got a great future going with what we're going to be doing with the reporting here. You know, I just want to just say one thing. I was able to get Kevin in here, so, so I'm going to hold on to.
Mike's going to hold on to that one forever.
Yeah, I always owe you for that. I will be happy to continue sending you broken coffee mugs as much as you need. Hopefully I can learn how to wrap them better next time. But
well, you know, if you send enough of them, we're going to make a mosaic.
Sounds good. I look forward to that. So, Amy, would you give us a little bit of an intro to Mille Lacs Health System?
Sure. So Mille Lacs Health System is a critical access hospital, as well as numerous clinics that make up the organization. We're located about 90 miles north of the cities on the south end of Mille Lacs Lake. We also have, in addition to the critical access hospital, we have a senior care or geri psych unit. We have a long-term care and assisted living, home care, hospice, surgery department, and then we have a lot of visiting specialists that come from CenterCare, Wellia Health and Mora, et cetera.
Thank you. I can say that I've seen just from our couple years of experience with you guys that you really are an asset to the community. I know that a lot of rural healthcare systems have struggled, but you guys have really seen a lot of support coming from your community. And even recently with a building campaign, I believe there was quite a bit of community support in that. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It was really important to our CEO and our senior leadership team that we have the buy-in from the community, of course, because as the only organization within a 45-mile radius, it's important to the community that we remain open and available for them. And then we know we needed to upgrade our rooms, our services here at Mille Lacs Health System. So it is exciting. We are getting a whole new hospital, acute care unit, Right now, our beds are our rooms are two beds per room, which is, you know, more 1970s style. So now all the new rooms will be there will be 18 single occupancy rooms, and then in addition, we're getting a whole new ER and urgent care, and as well as a cafeteria too. So it's exciting time for Mille Lacs Health System.
I know this isn't all about me, but I'm most excited about the cafeteria for when we come to visit. It's definitely long overdue for better facilities there. But yeah, it's exciting. I've seen the plans, and it's exciting to see that you've been able to continue to move forward, you know, despite some of the challenges that we've had of late, given COVID. And so speaking of COVID, it's hard not to these days. So how would you guys say that COVID's affected Mille Lacs Health System, you know, the priorities of leadership, how you've done work? What have you seen as challenges, or, you know, anything that's changed since that all showed up at our doorstep?
Well, I would say that, you know, this incident command has been started. So there's like a focus on COVID, you know, twice a week. That incident command meets, which is a group of individuals that stay up to date on what's going on with the Department of Health, CDC, and then they transfer that to the leadership group twice a week. So that's been ongoing. But the other thing that it's done is it's allowed us to open up the door for remote working and also remote visits with the patients. And, you know, it's just one of those things that where normally it would take a lot of work to be able to make the argument to do something like this. In this case, it was necessary, and we just went ahead and did it. So I think it's going to be a benefit in the future also.
Yeah, I would add too that it definitely was a shift in priorities as far as not only at the senior team level, I'm sure, but at more from the support standpoint. I think, Mike, we rolled out the telemedicine services to the clinic patients within like 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And normally that would take three months because you have to have all the correct players around the table and everybody's buying. But there was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We knew we had to move forward. So it was many hours spent, especially from Mike's team on that with the systems analysts, spent determining what platform to use, the best way to go about it, and then we had to support then our nursing staff and then ultimately the patients. How can we better serve them? We had to make it easy for them, create, you know, how-to documents. So it was like everything we were doing at that moment in time got put on the back burner, and we were focused on that to take care of our patients. So it's just definitely been a shift in, you know, what you're working on.
Mm-hmm.
I think of like from a reporting perspective, you know, there's certain requirements that are needed for the CDC that we have to do. You know, some things may have gotten put on the back burner because of that. We've been fortunate here that we haven't had a lot of cases, but definitely we have to stay on top of it. And like Mike said, with incident command meeting twice a week, they keep everybody in the loop of what's going on and what's to be expected next.
Good. And that sounds like, you know, what we're hearing a lot from other clients and people that we keep in contact with is a similar story of really needing to pull back on a lot of things and focus on, you know, COVID readiness and, you know, the incident command is a pretty common thing that we've heard. Have you seen the same you know, volume disruption and, you know, especially in the elective procedures that other organizations have seen, or has it been relatively, you know, business as usual at Mille Lacs?
I would say from a reporting standpoint, we've been able to pull those numbers from last year at this time versus this year. And you could see the numbers were pretty similar in March. Towards the end of March, they start to drop. You know, then the elective surgeries were canceled for a few months there, April, May-ish time frame. So we're at as far as like surgeries go, I believe we're at a 50% of what we did last year. So that would include scopes as well. So definitely the numbers have dropped.
Wow.
Are starting to pick back up again. They did, I would say, more so in like the July time frame. But that goes for ER visits, urgent care, clinic visits.
Mm-hmm.
All of those numbers had pretty significantly declined. But we are seeing them start to pick back up. And one of the things that somebody made a note of was that the patients then that were presenting to the ER during that late March, April time frame were very sick. So then we don't end up keeping those patients here at Mille Lacs Health System. We would ship them out to St. Cloud or North Memorial, for example.
Mm-hmm.
There'd be a decline in admissions as well. And just simply because people were waiting longer before they would come in.
Right. So COVID has obviously been a big challenge, a big disruptor. Aside from that, what are some of the more perennial challenges that you face as a rural healthcare system, as a critical access hospital? What are some of those things that COVID kind of got put on top of? Mike, can you speak to that at all?
I would say that one of the biggest things is staffing from the provider perspective, but dialing in more towards what I have to deal with is finding technical skills
mm-hmm.
In the IT area. It's really a challenge. IT resources are used to working remotely. And, and since we didn't do that, you've got to find people that will actually come here. And so it's always been a challenge to get the talent that you need here. And in fact, that was one of the drivers for working with DTA is that that skill of reporting, we just didn't have it. And it's hard to develop it in a organization our size. So the other thing that we deal with is multiple EMRs, which is a challenge.
Tell me about it.
Well, you got one patient, three EMRs, and now we got, at least you can consolidate that data now, but.
Definitely. As somebody who's worked with the data, we've been working with you on this for, a year and a half now? 2 years? Mm-hmm. Somewhere around that. And that is a big challenge, working on data integration between, multiple EMRs. It's hard enough with a single EMR. That doesn't fix everything. But when you've got multiple EMRs, it just adds to the challenge for sure. So something we've definitely seen. Amy, anything to add along the lines of challenges of being a rural health provider?
Yeah. Number one, like Mike said, the multiple EMRs is a huge challenge. When a patient can come into the emergency room and they're seen in one system, they get hospitalized, for example, and that's in another system. And then their follow-up care 2 weeks post-hospitalization is in our clinic system. So that's a third system. It's a frustration for the providers as well. They want
mm-hmm.
they don't want to go looking here for one thing and here for another thing. So we're always working on making that better. The other thing I would add is the rural healthcare is, we've had a few providers leave the area in the last year, and it's really hard to replace those providers. We're in a unique setting that we have an ER that those MDs cover, that they help with the geri psych and long-term care as well as see patients in the clinic and the hospital. So
mm-hmm.
it's just a unique setting. It's a great area to be, but it's hard to find and recruit those physicians to this area.
Shifting a bit to data, how well or not well would you say Mille Lacs Health System has leveraged data for analytics and decision-making in the past?
In the past, our working with data was, it was to answer a question at a point in time, and then it would just be saved and used. It wasn't used for making decisions. I can't think of a lot that we actually used for decision making. And, you know, and I could put that in perspective with, you know, recently we've gotten the numbers Amy was talking about before, where we could look at last year to this year. I mean, and the response, you know, we have an IT steering committee meeting every week, and it's just like, boy, these numbers are really great. They really help. Well, this is data that's been there forever. And this is the first time that we've actually pulled it together to give a view of actually what's going on. So I think we crawled for a long time. I think bringing DTA on has really changed how we approach this. And from my perspective, we have a user base that is not educated in using reporting. And this is like open the door to start understanding, but there's so much more that can be done. And we're just going to have to bring everybody along slowly, but really Amy's done a lot. I mean, with her master's, she's getting into analytics and statistics and things like that. Somebody's got to lead this organization forward in that kind of thing, but it's going to be a challenge, just like it has before. You know, I was thinking about this before, but you know, at one time there was no Excel, and trying to convince people that this would be a good thing to people that had ledgers, it was a challenge. So it's kind of like the same thing now. It's like, no, we can use this data.
Right.
Yeah. I think I would add to that, like Mike said, with the three different EMRs, you know, each EMR had their own ad hoc reporting capabilities within itself. And it was just like, it was amazing when we could do something that would help somebody with just those simple reports. And I think, you know, now with what we've been able to come up with for just the senior team, for example, it really is opening their eyes to, you know, the data that we can pull and what we need to be looking at. You know, those are just statistical reports, for example, but when you think about what's really going to have an impact would be the financials behind those reports. And now I think that looking into that financial aspect of it will be that much more meaningful to, especially to the senior team and even to department managers or directors. On a scale of 1 to 10, where we were at about a 2, being not so great at using our data to help us make decisions.
That's great to hear that you're making progress. And to kind of level set expectations or bring reality for everybody out there, we're talking, you know, EMR for inpatient, one for ambulatory, a separate system for the ER, you know, got a system for long-term care, system for home care, I believe, that we haven't tapped into yet. It's not like DTA came in and immediately integrated all of those systems and suddenly you have reporting across all of those. You wouldn't be able to afford that. I'm not sure any organization could afford that in the time frame we've been working with you, which, like I said, is somewhere around a year and a half that we've been working under this managed services arrangement. But the way that we've approached it is, and you guys keep me honest on this, but you guys picked a level of hours you were comfortable with every month from a budget perspective. And our team has leveraged the different resources from our team, whether it's data integration, data architecture, visualization, development, reporting. We've leveraged those based on the request. And we've brought those systems together, components of those systems together as there's a need. So as you have a request and you guys have sat down and prioritized the various requests that have come in or the things that you know about, and then we look at that and say, all right, well, we're going to need to start bringing in some of that data from that ER system. So, you know, then we pull that in. And over time, we can we can leverage those pieces that we've integrated from the different systems, and we'll be able to pull those into reporting and metrics without having to go back to the till, so to speak. But it's definitely an incremental process where, you know, the future, we know what we want it to look like, but the pace that we can go is really just predicated upon what your organization is comfortable with from a budget perspective. So that's, you know, from the DTA side, that's the goal, and that's how we see it. Does that line up with how you guys have seen this working?
Yeah, I think that, you know, when we started off, it's like you think, oh, this is going to be great. We're going to have this data warehouse right away where we can pull all these reports. But it is a process, like you said. It's baby steps to get there, and we ultimately know what the end goal will be, or what we want it to be. You know, as we've needed the data, for example, for an antibiotic usage report, you know, we sit down and we define what needs to go into that report, what tables we have to pull from, which systems. And, you know, we had started with MedHost, our EMR in the hospital, and then we realized in order for that report to work, we needed to get the data from Point Click Care, the system in long-term care. So it's important, you know, that you take a step back first to know what you need, and then it does take time, but it's been a good process and a good thing to see from, like, my perspective as to what goes into it.
One thing I'd add is that, you know, the work, the effort that's required in the back end to make this happen is just something that, I mean, we just wouldn't have the bandwidth to do. You know, it's one thing to say, yeah, we pulled in Point Click Care, but there's a lot of coordination that has to happen, and that data, you have to get that data ready to move, and then you have to move it into the warehouse, and then you have to, you know, create the process to be able to update that on an ongoing basis. So that's been a real benefit that DK has been able to do this. I mean, we just wouldn't be able to have the bandwidth to do it, you know, one system after another like that. So that's been a real, real benefit.
Awesome. It's great to hear. Can you describe the hospital operations dashboard? You know, what was the need that brought that forward? And what does it do for Mille Lacs Health System? What do you expect it to be able to do as it moves forward and gets added to?
Sure. So this operations dashboard came about due to COVID, of course. And it was the senior team, specifically the VP of HR, wanted a way to know what our volumes were for staffing levels specifically. So, for example, the ER staff may have been saying that they're still really busy, but we had no way to prove that unless you looked at, you know, the log for the day of the patients that had come in. So the logs, the volumes were low, but they were still saying they were busy, for example. And so what we did was we took a step back and we looked at all of the different areas that we wanted to pull into that report in working with the VP of HR. And what that's allowed them to do is the senior team, I believe they review that one on a weekly basis. And what they do is they look at it and say, if a manager, for example, has a request for a new position, they'll look at that and be able to help them determine staffing levels, if additional staff are needed, if the we're always busy is true, for example. Now they have some data to make their decisions off of.
That's great. And I'll just add that the approach for that dashboard was, and this is how we tend to approach things when we can, when metrics are involved, is we build it in such a way that you can take it piecemeal and you can work on one metric without worrying about messing with another metric. Sometimes when you're creating a report that has all of this in the same place, you have to be really careful about, if I change this metric, it might break other metrics. But the approach that we took keeps those metrics separate, and that allows us to to be able to work on developing, validating, and then presenting that metric all in the same place for the presentation layer, but as metrics that are broken out. And then once you've done that with metrics, you can add things to those in terms of metadata. And we have a tool that displays that, the business intelligence catalog, and shows the description of the metric, who owns it, who developed it, you know, the inclusion and exclusion criteria and things like that. So it's really something that we try to do from a good data governance standpoint around encapsulating metrics and standardizing them so that the information about them can be displayed along with the actual metric performance. And then we can display those metrics not just in one report, but in whatever places they need to be displayed, because they're defined in the metric repository level. And those who are validating, the people who are responsible for those metrics, the people who know the most about them, can drill in to those metrics to do validation right on the very same report where their performance is displayed. And so we think that brings a lot of really good efficiencies, and from our perspective, at least, it seems to have worked well so far. And we've been able to get some things out there instead of waiting till the whole report was done before we were able to get that to the decision makers to take a look at.
Now, Kevin, one thing about that, what it's done is it's opened another door, and it showed that this data can be useful. And the other thing it did is it got people involved that normally wouldn't be involved. Now, the people that are involved with that data to do the validation are now becoming involved in this. So I think it's just a step and a progression to continually drive using more of the information that we have available.
That's great. Okay, last question. What's on your mind for the future? What do you see as some areas you want to get into with regard to your data? What analytics and information do you want to get in front of decision makers down the road so that you can, you know, help your organization become more efficient and all of those good things?
I think what I would say is taking this operational dashboard, you know, one step further in getting the financial pieces tied to it. I think as an organization, we could do a much better job of presenting that information to them on top of the statistics, like I talked about a little bit before. And then also getting it down to the manager level, because right now with this operational dashboard, it's, you know, it's at the senior team level, which allows them to get a good picture of what's going on within the organization. But then taking it one step further to bring it down to the manager level so that they're getting this data, so it allows them to make decisions on budget, on staffing, so they can predict what's going to happen in June, July, and August, for example, versus January, February, March. I think it would be much more impactful if we could get that next level included. And I think it will. I think it takes time. Like Mike said, I think it can help make positive changes within the organization.
And I'd say that, you know, one of the other things that we got to be concerned about as we go through this is when you start looking at financial aspects of different things, you start, you know, maybe touching on areas where, you know, like performance and things like that. You know, we got to go through all those things yet, because people aren't used to, I don't want to say being graded, but I mean, you know, financially, what's the benefit and what's the cost? So we got to go through that. But, you know, and the other thing, you know, in my mind is that we have three different systems, and, you know, everybody wants to be able to just go to one spot and find everything. But, you know, the more that, it would seem like if we have opportunities to look at one spot and gather information instead of having to go to different spots, I think that's an opportunity also.
Right. Yeah. We've had conversations where we want things to be in those EMRs as much as possible, but where those interfaces aren't possible or where it doesn't make sense, can we utilize the data warehouse as a way of visualizing some of that information, such as, you know, a quick look at what's the visit history across all the systems of this this patient, so I know where they've been, what systems they've at least popped up in, so I know where to go look. Because right now you don't have a good way of knowing to even go look in those other systems right now, correct?
Correct. That's another big one that we've talked about quite extensively, and I know Mike is pretty passionate about, is the medication reconciliation. It's a nightmare when you have one system, then when you have three different systems, that becomes a problem because they present to the ER and they say they're on these, but our clinic system has one. So that would be a goal in the end, is that we could create a better process for that based on the reporting, the pulling of that data from the warehouse.
You know, Kevin, if I can say, I mean, not necessarily about the data, but I mean, the other opportunity here with DTA is we also want to be able to have knowledge transfer to staff here. And Amy's got developed a really good group on her team. And, you know, to be able to utilize the staff in-house to combine efforts on some of these things, I think is another benefit.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up, Mike, because that's been a part of what we've been doing with some of your staff to do some at-the-elbow training on SQL, and our intent is to develop the data warehouse so that it's user-friendly for those who are hitting it directly. Obviously, the majority of your organization is going to be accessing through reports that have been created for them and dashboards, but for those analysts in your organization, we really want to make that data warehouse an asset for them and easy to use. So I'm glad you brought that up. Well, Amy and Mike, I really appreciate your time today. It's been really informative to hear about, you know, some of the challenges that you're facing as a smaller rural health system, and hear about your use of data and things you're looking forward to for the future. So thanks to both of you very much for your time. And to those of you who are listening, thanks. We appreciate you listening to this podcast and hope you'll visit some of the other resources that we have on our site. So thanks, Mike and Amy.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.